in Seattle's hot housing market, are renters getting a fair shot? Mayor Ed Murray doesn't think so. He's proposing to lower the barrier for potential tenants with criminal convictions. The Fair Chance Housing Law would limit landlords from screening tenants based on criminal convictions or arrests. The mayor and his supporters say it will lead to increased racial equity in housing. Some landlords look at this proposal along with new city rules on background checks, a new first-come, first-served policy, and limits on move-in fees. And those landlords can feel they are losing control over who they are renting to. So let's dig into that right now with Augustine Sita with the Urban League of Metropolitan Seattle and Sean Flynn. He's a landlord and board president of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Welcome to both of you.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You were both on the task force that helped write this proposed legislation. I'll start with you, Augustine. Why does Seattle need this?
Well, if you look at the number of people being released from the Department of Corrections on a yearly basis, and you look at the data that shows that over 50% of them wind up homeless, with the homeless problem that we have right now in Seattle, this is just adding to the problem. And more importantly, people who have served their time, have rehabilitated themselves, have put themselves in a position to rent a place to live, are financially able, shouldn't be discriminated against.
Sean, someone has served their time. They, whatever mistakes you make, you serve your time. Why not put it in the past when it comes to getting a place to live?
Well, first I want to be clear that the RHA was a stakeholder not only at this stakeholder group.
It's the Rental Housing Association.
Rental Housing Association of Washington, but also that this task force came out of the Hall of Recommendations, which we also served on. And so while the RHA doesn't disagree that people need to have a fair chance at housing. In fact, we were pivotal in coming up with the name, Fair Chance Housing Ordinance. The question is, does this bill achieve that for us? And we think that the ordinance that we have in front of us, it takes what is already federal law, complicates it. It takes a look back period, which is state required at limited to 7 years.
Look back meaning how long ago was this conviction?
How far long back you can look at the conviction.
And right now it's 7 years?
7 years.
And the proposal is shortening it to 2.
It's shortening it from 2 years to from date of conviction. So what that means is if two tenants, if I'm a tenant and I apply to a unit and I've been convicted for murder, theoretically I would have gone to jail for longer than 2 years. So a landlord would not be able to look at that. Okay, but if I'm caught jaywalking, that's going to be available for a landlord to make a determination on. So the problem with the look back is that it reverses what a common sense would tell us in terms of what's going to be applicable.
Augustine, you were on the task force. You're satisfied with the legislation. What about that objection of we're not looking back? We're not giving landlords enough distance from a conviction.
So this part of the legislation is something that I struggle with a little bit at first myself, because I do believe property owners and landlords have the right to know who's on their property. But over time, it evolved. The 7-year look-back period, myself having a criminal history, is impossible for me to find a place that would rent to me. And even though the conviction was older than 7 years, it didn't seem to matter to many landlords. They just changed it to a 10-year look back with a misdemeanor. And so everybody who has a felony couldn't even consider moving into a place. When I started to look at the fact that everybody is entitled to adequate housing, and I certainly understand his viewpoint, but if a person served 20 years in prison for a murder conviction, for example, there's a really low likelihood that that person is going to return, as opposed to somebody who just went in for the first time, who was young and acting up. And so I think everybody is looking at people who have been incarcerated, like we're boogeymen, like we're scary people, and worse off, that we never change. And many of us have come a long way in changing. And if we're able, if I'm in a position to rent, then give me the fairness that you would give anybody else who can pass a credit background check or a financial part of it.
Shawnee's, without getting in the weeds of the Department of Corrections, Augustine is telling you his story to your face and saying, give me a chance, and what do you say?
What I would say is that the federal law already does that. what the federal law requires, right, where there's HUD guidance on this, and without getting too far into the weeds, is that it allows a landlord to look at the criminal history. But if the landlord is going to make a denial based on the criminal history, it requires that they do what's called an individualized assessment. Okay, and what that is it demands that the landlord look at the crime, have a legitimate business purpose for relating the crime to the housing, right? So, for example, if the crime is misdemeanor marijuana possession 4 years ago, that's probably, you have a very difficult time making a legitimate business purpose for denial based on that.
What does it take to make a legitimate denial?
Well, that's a legal question. I don't want to get too far in the weeds.
Okay.
But we'll just say that's one example. Now, let's say meth production would have a much easier case for making a reasonable business purpose because I don't want someone to cook meth in my basement. So the law already says, has set up a procedure for people with a criminal past to have a fair shake at this, right? It requires, and Bob Ferguson is enforcing this law now. And as we all know, the attorney general is no joke. And if what the new ordinance does, it says, I can't even see it. It says, it doesn't say you have to have a fair chance. What it says is I don't get to know it all. And that's fundamentally different.
Sean, you put this in you and other landlords have put this in the context of other restrictions on the ability of a landlord to rent out your property. I mentioned some of them at the top. And Augustine, you seem to acknowledge that, yeah, this is a trade-off. This is a burden. The big picture is more burden on landlords. Would you agree that that's a downside?
So we've never been here, right? We've never done this before. So I can't say that it's more burden on landlords. What I can tell you from my own personal experience and experiences of other people who share a background like myself, when we were given a chance by private landlords to rent, almost all those relationships always wound up good. And those landlords had a whole new perspective on what it meant to rent to people with criminal histories. We're so caught up in what might happen or what could happen that I think it's keeping people from even taking a leap of faith. But what I do know, whatever ordinance or law is in place now with the 7-year look back, if I went right now to rent an apartment, my conviction's over 10 years old, I'm still getting turned down. And I can't go to somebody and say I was unjustly treated by this landlord because I'll just hear something like, well, while you were getting your background information, I found another renter who was ready to go, so I chose him. And so I've went through those circles so many times. I don't know how many application fees I've paid just to hear the same answer. And even when it's past 7 years, you can Google somebody nowadays to find out if they have a criminal history or not.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Sean. Augustine mentions we're caught up in what could happen. And isn't it true that landlords have a lot more information than they used to, you know, thanks to Google, et cetera, to technology, that more people are getting swept up who might have a great relationship with a landlord if they just get a chance?
Two things. So what the current HUD guidance says is not just about screening reports. It's any information, okay? So putting that aside for a moment, I think that everyone's for, and this is where I said it earlier and before we were on the air, that most of what Augustine and I would agree on most things. The question is, how do we get there? And rather than another regulation that attempts to force that relationship to happen, the landlord and the tenant, we were supportive of a citywide CROP. The CROP was a Certificate of Restoration of Opportunity bill that both the Rental Housing Association of Washington and the Tenants Union both lobbied for. It was a big deal in Olympia because we never lobby for the same things.
Mm-hmm.
To address issues around people with criminal records reentering society. And what makes me most sad about the current round of stakeholder group is that we ended up with an ordinance that is punitive and is there to hammer people into compliance rather than build a program that changes people's minds.
Okay. Yeah. Augustine, we just have a minute left or so I want to give you a chance to say what's wrong with this Certificate of Restoration of Opportunity bill, CROP.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just it's not there yet. And the process, I know a little bit about it, and the process it would take to get it for some people are barriers within themselves.
What do you mean barriers within themselves?
To go through the process of getting the certificate of restoration.
It's too high an ask to force on people.
So let me just say quickly in response to what you were saying, and I hope any landlord I meet in the future is open-minded like yourself, but that's not the experience that myself and others run into. But anyone, whether they did time or not, if he's in a position, if his credit is good, if he's working, if he's making good money, that's not synonymous with somebody who's on his way back to prison. So many of the people that landlords fear renting to won't even qualify financially or so to move in. The people we're talking about is hardworking men and women who have done their time, who are working, who are making a good living and just want a place to live. And they don't want to be stuck with the option of a transitional house, which is almost as negative as being on the streets.
What do you say to that, Sean?
I think this is coming back to the fact that we both have shared goals, right? The question is, how do we implement that? This isn't a question of one side of the table here saying that if you're working hard and you're staying out of trouble and you've got the rent money, that you shouldn't have housing. That's not what the RHA's position is. What our position is that less information doesn't let that happen, controlling the amount of information people are seeing is problematic also in terms of enforcing this ordinance. So if the way the ordinance is currently run, and without getting completely in the weeds, even if you're not Googling, most reports are going to come back 7 years because that's the statewide standard. But then it begs really interesting legal questions around, if I see a conviction that's more than 2 years old, how do I know that I'm not making a decision based on that conviction? This is the whole reason we lead juries out of the court when an argument is made about evidence they can or can't see. The bottom line is that Augustine and I share similar goals. The thing we disagree about is whether this gets us any closer. And I think what the ordinance does is it overly complicates it, and it won't get us where we're going.
Sean Flynn is a landlord and board president of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Augustine Sita is with the Urban League of Metropolitan Seattle. And we've all been talking about this proposal from Seattle's mayor. It goes to city council now to, as I said, lower the barrier for potential tenants with criminal convictions, limit landlords from screening tenants based on criminal convictions or arrests. And we'll tweet out a link to the city's website, details on this proposal, so you, the listener, can follow along, and we'll watch the process happen. Thanks for coming in, sharing your stories, agreeing with each other, disagreeing, but talking this through. Thank you to you both.
Thanks for having me.
It's KUOW's The Record. More just ahead.